Hello and welcome to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. With me this week is John Baldassera.
Hi.
I'm Joe Isles. It's been a very long time since we've done this podcast.
It's been a really long time, and it's mostly my fault, if not all my fault.
Potentially. I think it's Audacity's fault for being a bit dodgy.
Yeah. Hopefully this will actually go up this time, because we have actually recorded at least three podcasts in between
three?
Now. At least two.
Maybe
three. Yeah. I don't know. I guess last week we just did like a brief little test. Basically, we've talked about Zelda together online and recorded it three times already. So
yes.
I'm sure this will sound very forced and unnatural.
Well, no. Crafted, let's say.
Sure.
It's a bit better.
And I've had time to play a lot more Zelda since then. I still haven't actually finished it, but pretty much have. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point now where I'm ready to finish the game. So I think my thoughts on it are more solidified.
Concrete, yes. Yeah. And I have finished the game,
and
all
reflect.
The side stuff. Yeah, I'd say my opinion has shifted from, like, I think it's a good start, but not a great Zelda game. To it's pretty good. Like I can appreciate it a little bit more.
That's cool.
Instead of being like, there's only four dungeons. It's shit.
Yeah, sure.
which is a knee-jerk reaction.
This
kind
was
of.
That was take one of this now fourth take of the podcast. All right. Well, we'll just get into it. We've already mentioned it. We've both been.
Do you want to talk about the Switch quickly? What do you think about the Switch?
We both got Switches. It works as advertised, which is really impressive.
I haven't had any technical issues like other people have.
Yeah, me neither. Thankfully. There's like a dock. You put it in the dock, and then. You put the console in the dock, and then it's playing on your TV screen. You pull out the dock, then you're playing it on the console itself, which has a screen. Mm-hmm. It's
instant.
Smooth. Well, you know, it's like a second, like 2 seconds, so practically instant.
The time it takes you from holding it to take out of the dock to place it in your hands to play.
Yeah, it's the time it takes for you to switch. I would say it's like the time when you put it in the dock, it takes about as much as it does switching a HDMI port on your TV. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Switching the signal, so barely any time at all. It's
from
awesome.
Sleep mode, it's instant as well, pretty much.
Yeah, it feels really nice. It doesn't feel like a Nintendo console. Like, it feels a bit more sleek and like weighty.
Sturdy.
It has a weight to it.
Yeah,
it feels good. It's a nice system. Screen's really good. The OS is really snappy, much more so than the PS4, which I've gone back to recently to play Neon. And man, the PS4 doesn't hold up against the Switch in that regard, like with the OS.
The UI is quite
stuff.
Basic, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance when the update the OS via patches and stuff, maybe it'll become a bit more bogged down and a bit slower. Mm-hmm. But for now, in its nascent state, it's like very satisfying console. Not a ton of games, as we know. So unless you really love Zelda, I would fucking
on
not
Neo
get
Geo
this
games.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, like. Tons of potential in this system. It's great to hear that it's been selling really well and that Nintendo are making like 16 million this year instead of 8 million just based on its initial reception. And we'll get to the news later, but there's like, you know, some rumblings about some really cool stuff that could become this thing, which will definitely justify it if you're a fan of like any of Nintendo's games, really. So overall, really pleased with it.
Yeah, me too. It's a good system. I think the controllers aren't ideal. The back buttons, the triggers, and the clicky, not trigger, top button is a bit dodgy, but small.
Sure, yeah.
Very easy to press accidentally, but...
They are a bit small. That's kind of how they have to be. You can get a Pro Controller for way too much money, which will kind of rectify that problem. They have to be small to be like a portable device. And honestly, like, I've totally got used to them to the point where, like, the PS4 controller feels giant after you've played it for a while. It kind of reminds me of like playing guitar for a while, then going and playing bass or vice versa, and it's like this feels fucking weird. Like theoretically, there's a lot of similar things, but it's like it just feels weird, and you've kind of got to get used to one or the other.
Uh-huh.
And that takes some time, I think, and jumping between Nier and Zelda's been pretty frustrating in some ways because of the differences between the controllers. But yeah, anyway, pretty good system overall so far.
Okay, so let's talk about. Zelda, the meat of this console launch, and the potatoes, and the dessert, and pretty much everything. because there's not much else to play. What do you think of Zelda Breath of the Wild?
I like it a lot. I was very skeptical going into this game, as people who listen to this probably would know, because I'm skeptical of open world games in general. I've enjoyed many open world games much of the time in spite of the fact that they're open world. Like, I like Red Dead because of the atmosphere. I see a value in a giant world being able to like convey movement between places. Like, I really like that about Final Fantasy 15, for example. Like, it felt like you're going on a journey just because the world was so vast. I loved Yakuza 0 recently this year, but that was like a much smaller, open, dense environment, which I really, really loved because it was so tightly designed. And like, Zelda's kind of the first open world, big scale, modern open world game that I've played where I finally get it. I get the appeal and potential of the genre as a whole. So yeah, that's basically my massive takeaway from this game so far. Other than that, like, the general gameplay and everything like that is satisfying that Zelda itch for sure. But I think, like, to me, the way they've kind of taken the Zelda rhythm of like, oh, I'm going to fight some enemies and I'm going to solve this puzzle, then I'm going to collect this, then I'm going to equip this. Like, they've kind of like taken that formula and rhythm and applied it to exploring like this giant world. And it still has that like that kind of flow to it, like an old Zelda game, to me at least, but on this massive scale. And I think that's kind of astonishing.
Yeah, like, I agree that they've basically taken out all that stuff and spread it out across the big world, and it feels great because the environment is designed in such a way that you can just stumble upon these things over and over and over again.
Not just stumble upon those things as well, but, like, something will catch your eye and you'll want to go to it. And, like, 9 times out of 10, it'll be worth going to.
Like, any unique thing in the landscape, and pretty much everything is unique because it feels crafted.
Like, the worst case scenario is that you'd be like, that hill looks interesting. I kind of want to climb to the top of this hill or mountain. The worst case scenario is you'll get to the top and there'll actually be nothing there, but you'll see, like, 10 significant things from there that you want to go to. You know, like, it's all being so carefully designed to, like, lead your eye and then for you to follow it and it either lead to a thing or a thing that's going to lead you to a thing. You know, it's really, really impressive. Like, basically every little corner I've explored has led to at least something else. It's been great.
The thing you said about it being like, you fight some enemies and then you go to a puzzle and you do the puzzle and then you explore a bit, like that thread is a little bit iffy. Because of the systems in place, but mainly the durability system. And I know, like, this, it's a point of contention for a lot of people. Because
I think I'm coming around to your way of thinking on this now that I've played more of the game. But I'll let you continue.
Like, a lot of people, like, the main argument for it, and the thing is that weapons are breakable, and once they break, you can't use them anymore. Apart from the Master Sword, all weapons will break after X number of hits, and you'll have to get out another one, scavenge one from an enemy, that kind of thing. So you constantly change your weapons. And the biggest argument for is that it forces you to change up your weapon style and gives diversity and stuff like that.
And to use, like, the environment to defeat enemies or sneak past them or,
The problem is that, like, the best sword in the game that isn't the Master Sword breaks, like, almost as quickly as a fucking stick. So you by the end of the game, you're still going through weapons constantly, fighting against enemies which have way more health and take way more hits. So you're just being really careful. Like, you've got, like, 10 weapons that are really good with a lot of damage that you just don't use until you get to a boss. And then you've got, like, 3 weapons that you just keep swapping out rather than it being, hey, change up your style. It's like, well, I'm just using, like, fucking Boko clubs over and over again because they're the worst weapons. And I'm not going to use my fucking flame greatsword because it looks cool. It's going to be awesome. But I don't want to break it on fucking bats that have 1 HP but still take away as much durability as everything else.
Sorry, continue.
so the action of exploring and, you know, finding a group of enemies, and you're like, I just don't want to fight these. I don't want to waste my weapons on these basic mobs when I can go and fight fucking Lynels or whatever. The big centaur? Centaur lion men.
Or like go and do a sub quest with like a big proper enemy or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I didn't agree at all for the first like 20 to 30 hours I played. Like, I really loved the weapon durability system because it did do those things that it is supposedly designed to do. Like, I was like using rolling bombs down hills and dropping boulders on enemies and like all of this like weird stuff. And then when I found a weapon, I was like, this is fucking cool. It's a flame sword, like you just said. I'm going to save this and it's going to like come in handy later. And it did come in handy. But like with many open world games and almost all RPGs, at a certain point, you do become like really overpowered in a lot of ways. And enemies... I mean, I know you were saying like enemies have more health and stuff, but everything kind of becomes trivial at a certain point. And it's just like, I just wish I could keep this good weapon.
Yeah.
But because it is trivial later on, it's like, I don't want to fight these enemies. It did definitely become that. As I got more hearts and I got more armor and things like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. The enemies I was specifically talking about as being just like durability sinks in a sense. It's like the guardians in the test of strength shrines.
Just
have tons of health. You break like three weapons and you'll get two guardian weapons back, which break even faster than everything else. Like the balance and durability is fucked. Pretty much.
Yeah,
and just it makes the game not like way less fun than it should be.
I think the durability balance is a really good point. Because like we were just saying early on, when you do get that sword, like a good sword from like a quest or you find it in this like cool place, it even though the durability is low, it is like, yeah, I'm going to save it for something. But yeah, you bang on with the balance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Balance is hard in open world games, I feel. I don't think anyone's got it even nearly right.
Especially when you're trying to keep it as simple as Zelda is, because the only way you gain power is like upgrading your armor, which is, I don't think the system for upgrading armor and stuff is good either.
I think it's okay.
Go collect 10 lizards. It's like, fuck it, what? What?
Yeah, yeah.
You have to go and like run around for at least like up to 20 minutes up these hills with lizards selected on my fucking beep machine, and I'm like running around trying to find these fucking lizards to upgrade my weapon, my armor, so my combat's more effective. Why would you do that? Why would you make this such a fucking banal task? It's no different to a fetch quest, really.
I suppose I'm just kind of thinking it of think I'm playing this Zelda game like it's a Zelda game at a certain point, though, so I don't really care. It's like, it's fine. And there's armor that you get for doing something, which we won't spoil, that is the armor that matters. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get that by doing the really fun stuff in the game. So I suppose it just hasn't really bothered me that much, like these systems. Ultimately, I've got the Master Sword, and I can use that when I need to. But there's like a trick with the Master Sword as well, which means you can't use it all the time, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's fucking Zelda. I've got the Master Sword. I've got the cool fucking shield. The whatever you call it. The Hylian shield.
Hylian.
And I'm looking for something else to complete the set, you know?
Yeah.
And once I've got, like, that's the Zelda arc. So I don't really care about. Like, it's fun finding these weapons and then using them for a little bit. Like, I don't need to keep them forever. I don't know. And upgrading the arm is useful, but I feel like I've upgraded it just by naturally collecting things along the way. I've never gone out to look to collect things. And that's been fine. But that doesn't mean that it's a good system. Like, I'm sure if I was interested in upgrading all the armor, I'd be really frustrated with the way it's being designed as well. But it just hasn't personally bothered me because I haven't really been engaging with it, I suppose.
I think also the enemy variety hasn't been brought up to par with the size of the world.
You're right. Yeah, I agree.
Because it is a big world.
And it's really diverse and... Yes. Like all other aspects, like NPCs, the style of villages, like the topography, like everything feels really different and thoughtful and creative. But the enemies, yeah, you're right. There's maybe like 10 different types that I can think of off the top of my head.
And really, like the way that they hyped up the Guardians as this new enemy, they're such a bad enemy, you know? They're so boring to fight. It's really depressing. Disappointing. It's not depressing. I mean, but it's disappointing in that respect.
I like them early on because they're a threat. And like, there's some smart things, like not really stealth sequences, but you've really got to kind of like think about how you engage with them or try and get past them and stuff. And I like them at the start, but now they are just like more of a nuisance than anything. It's like, oh God, they're going to take off most of my health and I'll have to open a menu and heal and then run behind the corner and then maybe shoot them if I've got a special kind of arrow. Yeah.
It's just like shoot them in the eye, hit them a bunch of times, shoot them in the eye before they shoot their beam, hit them a bunch of times, shoot them in the eye, hit them a bunch of times, break three weapons, and then it's dead.
Yeah.
Now I get some items which let me create armor that makes me stronger against guardians, even though I can easily kill them now.
But I'll need to kill 20 to get to that point. Yeah. Once I've killed 20, like, what? Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, I am... First 20, 30 hours, I didn't see your complaints, really. Like, I understood where you were coming from, but I was like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
After 50-odd hours, I understand. But also, it took 50 hours.
Yes.
For me. And I was like 30 hours in. Shit. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And there's so much other amazing stuff in this game that it... I think it's valid to complain about this stuff, and it's something that I'll probably be looking at feedback for, because I think a lot of reviews complain about this stuff as well, but it feels overall like such a minor thing when I'm getting so much of what I come to Zelda for from this game, and so much that I didn't even know I wanted in terms of exploring the world.
Yeah.
It just seems relatively minor.
It feels like a big step forward for sure.
Yeah.
Despite some of these stumbles.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker and Link to the Past in a lot of these games. I don't know which I prefer, like, honestly. Like, you know me. I love a tight single-player game. I'm definitely of the opinion of, like, something that's, like, short and tight is always going to be better than, like, really drawn out. But I don't know, man.
To be fair, like, Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker aren't short games.
Like, Wind Waker's padded, though.
Yes, like, Wind Waker does have some problems later on, yeah.
Ocarina's not really short, but it's linear, relatively linear.
That's kind of the thing as well. In terms of the content put forth, or the structured content, let's say, of the dungeons.
Yeah.
Disregarding the shrines for a bit. Because they are structured, but they're not really, like... They don't push you forward in the way that dungeons do. There's not like a thread through them of being like, go do these dungeons, then go to Ganon. It's like, these are things you do on the side. You don't do all of them necessarily. I did like 50 before I beat Ganon, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Out of 120, so they're not like key. Whereas like the through thread of doing the dungeons and stuff and then killing Ganon is, I'd say that's like the core game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, totally.
It didn't have the moment where you're like, all right, I've got this stuff, now to play the game. Whereas I feel like in Ocarina of Time and classic Zelda, you get like, all right, now I've got the Master Sword and everything's changed and I'm forward in time and shit's about to go down for reals. It's like you're kind of already in the dark world, so that stuff never happens, it feels like. Like, you've already got all the powers. You, like, pretty much all the mechanics are laid out in front of you. You just have to kind of do them for 60 hours. And there's bound to be fatigue because of that.
Yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, you could go either way with that argument. You could be like, yeah, you miss out on that moment where it's like, yeah, okay, I've done the three baby Link dungeons. Now it's time for, like, the seven big ones or whatever. Like, you do miss that. But at the same time, you also just get to do whatever from the gate. And like that's like the classic argument where I'm normally always on the other side of like, no, I want it to be like delivered to me in a linear fashion so we get those big like story moments or whatever, or those big significant changes.
Yeah.
But I don't know, this game has kind of maybe changed my mind a little bit on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, really did love just doing nothing for 25 hours at the start before I even did like the first big story thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm never like that, so I don't know. Like, take that as you will, but to me, that makes it pretty special to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. But also,
you could have had both, I guess.
Imagine if it was like the Final Fantasy 15 format, where it was like, here's the open world, and then it's just like 10 to 15 hours of structured content.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the open world.
Yeah.
Like, how fucking amazing would that be?
If it was like, if you did everything that I just done the four dungeons that are in this game, and then I was like, there's three more.
Yeah.
But the like the more traditional Zelda dungeons,
and yeah, in this and order. It's gonna challenge you and make use of
all the items you've got, yeah, all the powers you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that could be cool. I'm really intrigued to see what this DLC is gonna be like.
Yeah,
because I don't think it's gonna be. They've said it's gonna be a dungeon. The dungeons in this game take a really different form to other Zelda games, which we won't spoil.
Mm-hmm.
A choice that I enjoyed for the most part. One of the four I didn't enjoy, but I think it was because I was just like sleep deprived from playing Zelda too much.
They were okay. I didn't think they were great.
I liked them. They're very different, and I think they make sense in the context of the story and the world and stuff, and I thought visually they were cool to an extent. It's hard to talk about without spoiling them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The open form didn't do anything for me of being like, hey, you need to go to these 5 points within this dungeon. Do them whichever. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's what this entire game is already.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe this is a dungeon, so make it a dungeon. Maybe, sure. And also give us some atmosphere while you're at it, because these all feel like the same dungeon.
I disagree heavily with you on that, but like we can't really talk about that without
in terms spoiling. Of atmosphere, though.
I know, but like you could say that about like the Colossi in Shadow of the Colossus. In terms of atmosphere, they're all the same, but they're all really different and really cool in their own way.
That like, game's that's 10 hours long. I think it's a different.
But it is different,
when you're traveling around the world and doing all these crazy things, then definitely feel totally unique and separate.
But I do feel like that other than one of the four dungeons, like. You know, like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, like, each dungeon is tied to a specific location, right? Like, because of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in all of the Zelda
Zoras, Gorons, all that stuff.
Exactly. I feel like the stuff around the dungeon and getting into the dungeon is unique enough that itch was scratched for me. But.
Okay.
We'll agree to disagree for now.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they'll do with the DLC dungeon. I think it might be something more traditional. I think I think I messaged you early on and be like, I think we're going to see the return of like a traditional Zelda item.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the hookshot isn't in this game.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
We know all the items that are in the game from the very start. Because
you get them all at the start, which is cool. But I think it would be cool as DLC to be like, hey, we're going to fucking break the game. Because a hookshot would break the fuck out of that game in a really cool way, I think.
Is it breaking the game?
Not really.
Or is it just making it better? Like,
I don't know.
Like, when you're climbing a mountain 60 hours into the game and you're stopping to get stamina back, a fucking hookshot would be a godsend, honestly, and make the game so much funner if it's, like, late on in the game that you get it. Like, 40 hours in, for the last 20 hours, I'm going to be hookshotting all over the place. That'd be fucking great.
It's kind of what happens to an extent anyway with some of the stuff you get.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah, okay.
Not quite to that level, but yeah, I'm definitely having... At the time when I got the power that made traversal easier, it was about the time where I was like, this is taking too long now. It was cool for the first however many dozens of hours, which is like amazing to say in the first place that I put up with it that long and enjoyed it for that long. But I think you're right. I think maybe a hookshot would have made post-game exploration or late game exploration maybe a bit more exciting.
Yeah,
because I've got a lot of shrines to do and I'm enjoying them still, but it is getting to the point where it's like, this is a daunting task, this is a massive world, and it's still fun to get around and I'm still finding cool stuff even this far in, but I could do with maybe a hookshot. I don't know. Overall, I think it's a really great game though. It's not my favorite Zelda game, I don't think. I don't know what direction I want them to go in next.
I think, to add, also, most of the side quests are pretty lackluster. Not that interesting. There's some good ones.
There's some great ones. There's one that's been terrible, at least for me. But most of them are good, I think. Yeah.
There's a good amount of, like, hey, go collect 10 crickets.
Yeah, this is, yeah, fuck that stuff.
Put an Octorok on this barrel so I can see the barrel fly. It's like, are you trying to teach me a mechanic that I already know? I don't understand what you're doing. I found this quest like 30 hours into the game. I know how Octorok balloons work. But
what if you didn't?
Yeah, well, too bad.
There's, some of the side quests I think are really great. Like, I think a lot of the shrine quests that I've done are really good.
Yeah, they're okay. The riddle ones.
Yeah, I like those a lot. But that's pretty much it. As far, I haven't really been doing many of the side quests, to be honest. I've done the ones that you've just mentioned, and I've done a good chunk of the shrine quests. But really, the side stuff to me is the shrines themselves, like the little mini dungeon things, which I really like still. Like, I'm really enjoying them. So, yeah.
They're
enjoying them enough to keep playing it. But I think I'm going to finish this game, like, soon. Maybe even tonight. I'm tempted.
I'm not mad about the shrines. I think they're fine. I would rather if the world had been half the size and just had more dungeons, with, again, more atmosphere. But, you know, 120 shrines, which all look pretty much identical, is not ideal, I don't think, personally. It would have been nice if the shrines were maybe dedicated to different gods, or had, like, the atmosphere of the environment that they are in.
That they were in.
But instead, sure, it's just like, hey, Guardian design, you know, looks a bit like Guardians. Because that's what the game's all about.
I don't know. Like, I think overall the art of the world more than makes up for, like little shortcomings like that.
I guess. I don't know. The thing is, like, other than traversal, there's not a ton of stuff in the actual world that you are engaged in Zelda-like activities.
Zelda-like behavior.
Bit of combat.
There's a lot of combat.
Yeah, there's a lot of combat, but I don't know.
I disagree. I think, like, all of the little Korok puzzles is Zelda-like activities.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
And, like, if you went after them all like a lunatic, they would get boring as fuck. And they are starting to get boring now, but again, that's like fucking 50 hours in.
Mm-hmm. And they're not, like, designed to be like, do all of them. It's just like, what's this? That is definitely like a curiosity thing more than anything.
Exactly. And it's great. And it definitely scratches that itch. I think the world's full of Zelda stuff. Like, I disagree with you on that.
Yeah, okay. Sure. I'll agree with
you'll
you.
You'll roll
actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that stuff's like some of the coolest stuff, especially for like the first 10, 20 hours when you're like really discovering it.
Yeah.
They do get repetitive pretty quickly after that. And I just run past some of them these days, but or a lot of them, but still, to hold my attention in an open world game for more than 20 hours before I do a fucking main quest is like, this hasn't happened before. So I'm personally really impressed with the game.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Is that Switch corner over? Oh, no, sorry.
Just one more little thing about the shrines. I know you love them, so I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the amount of time you spend on loading screens or unskippable content for all of the shrines adds up to about an hour. I think it was an hour and a half.
That's hilarious.
And the time it take, like, this guy I watch on YouTube, he added up to about, I think it was an hour and 20 or an hour and a half. The time it took him to beat all four dungeons was an hour and 50 minutes. So it's almost as much as doing the four dungeons, because they are very short dungeons.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, just to think about it.
That's rough. That's
kind of disappointing, right?
That's kind. Yeah, I can't defend that.
Yeah. So,
oh well.
That was on the Wii U, by the way. So loading times might be a bit longer, but not ideal.
That's off a disc rather than a cartridge. I don't know if that makes a difference these days.
Yeah, I think the loading times are longer on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the loading times are rough. Going in and out the trains and stuff. Hmm.
Just like the cutscenes and going down the elevator and the dialogue at the end of each shrine, which is identical every time. And you got that thing that you've got literally like, hang on, it's 4 per. I ended up with like 17 hearts by the end and 1 and 2
minus 4 for the
2
dungeons.
Stamina.
Minus 3 for the starting.
It's a lot of fucking orbs that I've gotten. And it's like, congratulations, you have this orb. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm in a shrine. That's how this works. That's how this game works. The system is laid out very basically for me. You don't have to tell me every fucking time. It's not as bad as Skyward Sword, where it's like, hey, you just loaded the game again, so let's go through every single item.
Yeah.
And oh, fuck like, me. Look at this. Look at this fucking beetle you got. Look at this arrow. It's an arrow. You can shoot it. It's like, well, yeah, I know.
The fact that they went from Skyward Sword to this is like, good job, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really listened. And yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think it's cool to see a Nintendo game like being a huge, potentially industry-changing innovator, or at least genre-changing innovator, I should say. Like, I think this is going to be a game where we see developers from all over the world like cribbing ideas and inspiration from, which I think is a very good thing.
Yes.
I mean, they've got to, really. Like,
I'm excited to see what the next Zelda looks like. Like, I think this is a really strong baseline. I think the combat can be improved on. I think the amount of content in this open world, or maybe even scaling it down a little bit, will be really beneficial.
Possibly, yeah.
Like, you don't have to have such a big fucking desert and mesa area, maybe, you know?
Sure. The producer... Aonuma seems confident that he can top it. He was like, oh yeah, we can top this. Mm-hmm. We've got ideas. So I don't think they're worried. Which is...
It's just like, if you think about it, like, Dark Souls happened since the last Zelda came out. Last 3D Zelda.
Sure.
Like, they've got a long way to catch up on combat. If you even think about it, the last 3D Zelda with actual combat was fucking Twilight Princess. Came out of the GameCube.
Right, yeah.
They've jumped like two generations pretty much to bring a game, and so much has happened since then that I think they're just catching up.
Sure.
So I really do think that the next game could be incredible. It could be like the best Zelda game, but this one isn't for sure. It's really great.
This one
is totally worthwhile.
And I told you, some people are going to play this Zelda game and be like, "This is easily the best one." You know what I mean?
Yeah. The same way people like Final Fantasy 15, though, you know? And like, yeah, no, the first half's great.
This game, nah, I disagree with that.
What I mean is, people love open-world games, so obviously you're going to be like, this is the best Zelda game. But it's not.
Yeah. But I also think this is a stronger Zelda game than Final Fantasy 15 is a Final Fantasy game.
Oh, yeah.
And I like Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
But I can imagine people who really love Zelda being like, this is my favorite Zelda game as well. Like, mm-hmm. totally. Like, I don't think it's my personal favorite, but it's definitely... It hangs with some of the other ones, definitely.
I think Final Fantasy 15 is a stronger Final Fantasy game than it is a game in general, personally.
Maybe.
I think, like, if you're not bits in on Final Fantasy, if I wasn't into Final Fantasy, I'd be like, what the fuck am I playing right now? For, like, 90% of that game.
I don't know, man.
Somehow people are like, yeah, it's amazing, because of the open world. Weird.
No, I don't understand crazy. It. I did not understand that at all. And it worries me. But that's how I feel about most open world games, so.
Don't worry, Nintendo fixed open world. It's fine. We're okay.
I fucking hope so. I really hope this does set like a standard or a trajectory at least for future development by other people. But hey, we'll see.
Although, like, I've been playing Nier, and that open world's great. I think that's really good just because the scale's right and traversal is not a hassle at all because you move
then
like 1,000 miles an hour.
About Nier. Yeah, I've been playing a little bit too. The open world is good in that respect. But it has other problems.
Book problems that they have.
Like, the quests, pretty boring.
Here and there, yeah.
In terms of what you're doing. Like, the dialogue and the stuff that happens because of the quests is fucking awesome. And I really enjoy it, even this early on. And I assume the game's going to get crazier and more interesting as time passes. But, I don't know. I'm really enjoying everything around the quests. But, I don't know. I think it can be a bit laborious.
Go to place, kill thing. Go to place, loot thing.
Go to place, talk to thing, get thing from thing, bring it back to initial thing, go back to other thing, talk again.
Right.
Like, stuff like that. Nah. I don't have time for that anymore.
I don't know.
But
I think that's
just... But the talking bit's so good that I want to see it, though. You know?
I mean, yeah, like, the premise of the game, basically, is that you are helping these group of android fighters... fight robots on Earth 10,000 years in the future or whatever. And it from the start, it is just like busy work that they need you to do because, you know, we're fighting robots. It's a war. You just need to go fight some stuff. You need to go set up supply lines and stuff. It's not a here's an epic quest that you must partake to defeat the everything and save the world. I mean, it kind of turns into that, but from the start, for sure. You know, it's like
it's not that. Yeah,
it's very slow going from the start. I think that's just fine. And the side quests that come up, the characters that you meet later on are pretty interesting and entertaining. Mm-hmm. And
even early on, I would say.
Yeah. Where are you up to?
I've barely. How do I say without spoiling?
You've been to the amusement park, have you?
Yeah.
Have you been to Pascal's Village?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah. There's some good characters.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, it's a game that you have to play through multiple times, and it feels somewhat similar to Final Fantasy XV in that like the latter 15-20% is like very. Not so much linear, but like they dial down on the side quests like almost completely, and it's like, hey, go here, go do this thing, and it's very forward. It's very like it pushes compulsive. You forward rather than being like you can go here, or you can go to that, you can do that, you know.
Good.
It's I have like very mixed opinions on. Like, you know how people are going, like, it's amazing and, like, shocking and it's a Yoko Taro game, so the storyline's going to be, like, really fucking dark and depressing and crazy. Like, it's a crazy story. It's, like, it's not so much the story that's crazy as, like, the ideas it's putting forth and, like, the way in which it does it that's interesting. And it's rather than, like, rather than it being, like, this amazing, crazy, overarching story, it's just, like, little arcs in each section, so like side quests kind of.
There's some good stuff even this early on. Mm-hmm. with that regard. Yeah,
yes. Or like something happens in the story rather than it being like this thing that ties everything that is tied to everything else. It's just like he is like a mini story concept within the main quest line, and it goes through that and like the themes link together throughout, but it's not necessarily this overarching plot. It's more like piecemeal. Yeah.
Sure. Like Cid going to the moon, wanting to go into space, in Final Fantasy VII isn't really part of the overarching plot, but thematically it is.
That's kind of like flashback stuff though, isn't it?
No, because he got there in the end.
And then, yeah.
Spoilers.
Well, I guess the space doesn't get to
But that doesn't have anything to do with Sephiroth and Cloud or anything. Like it does kinda, but not really.
Yeah.
Know? It's its own little arc.
I guess so, yeah. But like for the way in which the story progresses, it's just kind of inconsequential completely. Yeah. But like thematically very important.
Sure. Well, isn't that kind of very relevant. Just life?
Yeah, that's kind of
that's kind of the point, right?
But like, I'm guessing. By the end of it, I was like I get it, but I don't get it. Okay. I don't know how to describe it exactly. I didn't really care about the characters as much as I expected to.
Okay.
Like I didn't think the characterization was that character development was that strong. For all of them, like there's, I don't know how much
it's impossible
you know,
to talk about
so
this game, isn't it?
Yes, it's very hard unless someone else has already played it. Pretty much immediately after playing it, was like, okay, Google everything to be like, is what I think happened actually what happened? Because like it the narrative's very, like it doesn't feel as fleshed out as it kind of should be, I think. Or maybe it's just like that's how we roll in Japan, where we kind of leave things ambiguously. We put a lot of emphasis on character moments that aren't verbal, you know.
Sure. That is the case in a lot of Japanese media. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you've read some Murakami books, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's.
I
think the ones of lent you are a bit more definitive, but yeah. Like some of them are like, what? Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
maybe I don't know. Like they don't do closure.
Oh, not so much closure. You get closure. You get fucked out of closure, but it's more like the what's the impact is a little bit lessened because it's not overtly shown.
Okay.
To me, it's so hard to fucking right, talk
fine,
about until you
fine.
Finish it. But
look, I've seen Evangelion.
Yes, that is something to compare it to.
Yes, in a like big way. Tonally, it reminds me of Evangelion a lot,
Yeah,
but in a good way because I have a love hate relationship with that series, as I think you do. I think I like Evangelion more than you, but
I hate it more than I like it.
Yeah, whereas I'm slightly the other way, but depending on which day you ask me, I can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but tonally, there's something about it that reminds me of Evangelion.
That bit where you stab that dude and it's just like, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, that was proper, like, anime as fuck in a good way, though.
Yeah.
I love this. And blood spraying everywhere and stuff.
Ugh. And from what I've seen so far as well, it's given me, like, this weird... Like, the music's, like, really beautiful.
God, the soundtrack is incredible.
It's really
so good.
In a really haunting way. Like, there's bits of it that remind me of, like, the Anxious Heart song from Final Fantasy VII that plays in Nibelheim.
Yeah.
Like, this, like, really, really beautiful, fucking sorrowful stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's something about the tone of the game that I absolutely adore.
Mm.
It's, like, scratching, like, a weird old PS1 Final Fantasy itch in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of the way the dialogue's delivered. Probably because a lot of it's not voice acted, so you're reading things, and I don't know, there's like elements of like the Black Mage stuff from Final Fantasy IX in there. There's some fourth wall breaking Metal Gear stuff going on. It's like just scratching like a lot of that stuff for me, kind of like appealing to the kind of games that I really love.
Yeah.
And the gameplay as well is appealing to, like, you know, it's Bayonetta essentially, Bayonetta Lite essentially, so I'm really enjoying that portion of it as well. Yeah, I really love it so far. I'm really excited to play more.
When I got to the end of the second ending, I had, like, this fucking deja vu of Metal Gear Solid 5, like, in a really big way. Like, just the exact same feeling that I had at a very specific moment that seemed to be playing out exactly the same as Metal Gear Solid 5, which is why I was like, I think Kojima had something to do with this the other day. Like... It's kind of ridiculous. It's like it ends, and then I guess you just play it. All right, just play it. But
okay,
I was like,
talk about this properly.
Is this a parody of Metal Gear Solid 5? Like, that's genuinely what I thought for a minute. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. And there's a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5 feeling in it. I think in like the style of like the mechs and stuff. The UI is so fucking Metal Gear
Rising. Like, it's a lot like Metal Gear Rising, and I think that isn't a coincidence. Like, the Transformers game that Platinum put out is a lot like Metal Gear Rising in its presentation with menus and stuff, and I think it's just Platinum working on a budget to an extent.
Probably, yeah. But put a fucking plug-in chip in, it's just a fucking Metal Gear sound. It's like it feels like it's being ripped straight from Metal Gear. It's like, it's way too close.
And the little codec noise is similar enough where it's like, But I don't know. I think with its presentation, it's definitely inspired by Metal Gear from what I've played so far. But I feel like it's definitely got its own spin on it, and it's its own thing.
Well, it's taken inspiration from all over the place, man. I get like Dark Souls vibes a lot. In like an area, I was like, oh, this is probably like a direct...
Nod to
Dark Souls, in a really strong way. All Souls games in general, Bloodborne as well. What else? I mean, obviously, like fucking Bullet Hell games. That boy Yoko loves his Bullet Hells for sure.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff in there. Yeah,
man, the seamless transition between those fucking game games, basically. Yeah. From a bullet hell to a twin stick shooter to like a Star Fox view from behind, which never gets used again. I think it gets used like twice.
That's cool.
Into fucking boss, like arena 3D brawler into open world RPG brawler. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
In side scrolling Metroidvania style perspective.
Yeah, in like 10 minutes.
It's cool. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, it's not Bayonetta in terms of combat, which I alluded to before. It feels like it a lot, and it's really good and satisfying, but I think it's a bit muddled.
Hmm.
Like, there's a lot going on, because you've got at least another party member for almost the whole game that I've played so far. Only, like, four hours in or whatever.
Pretty much the whole game, yeah.
Yeah, sure. It gets like really muddled, and you know, like the most satisfying thing to me about a lot of Platinum's things is the dodging and countering and things like that, and chaining things together. And that's totally possible in this game, but I think it can be really hard to see enemy tells sometimes. Like a lot of the fodder enemies, like flash red, like they do in Metal Gear Rising. That's easy to see, even if there's fucking shit flying all over the screen. You know what you're doing. You can dodge. But you fight different types of enemies, like other androids, for example. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on sometimes. And a Platinum Banner. You know, I'm not bad at these games, but like, this game's kind of overwhelming visually sometimes, to its detriment, I would say. Sometimes. Sometimes it just looks cool as fuck.
Yeah. I've watched a few reviews since finishing it. Just to glean what other people took away from it as well, because I'm confused as fuck, in a way.
Yeah.
But reviews by people who enjoyed the original Nier say that Platinum basically brought the original Nier into the new generation, so it plays way better, but it feels a lot like the original Nier rather than Bayonetta or other Platinum games. So that's probably why there is a big divide. You might have gone in expecting Bayonetta, but not gotten it.
And that's fine. It's doing so many different things anyway. Like, Bayonetta's stage-based, it's score-based.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you're trying to chain all these things together. It's built because of that, whereas this is just like, no, you're just fighting enemies. It would be like trying to play, like, Final Fantasy XV and trying to, like, chain everything together perfectly. Like, that's not what the game is. It's an RPG. It's hot, at least.
You get scored in Final Fantasy XV.
Yeah, you do. Not to the... You know what I mean? Not to the fucking granularity that you do in Bayonetta or whatever. And, you know, it's just different emphasis, and it's doing a lot of other amazing things that I'm really enjoying so far. So,
yeah. So it's a very easy game.
It never gets harder.
No, it gets easier, but, you know.
That's fine. I'm getting
hard to bounce.
I'm getting what I consider to be, like, some cheap deaths because of the camera here and there, which is, like... Not what I come to Platinum for, you know? Like, I understand.
Platinum isn't considered the gold standard for camera work. In fact, it's pretty dodgy, regarded.
I'd say, like, Bayonetta 1 and 2, like, if I ever died, it was always my fault, I would say. Okay. But part of it's just because it is an open world, you know? So the camera's not going to be fixed on these, like, specifically designed combat arenas the whole time. So it just is what it is, and I just need to accept that, which I think I can. I mean, I already have. I'm really, really enjoying this game. And just take it as it is.
I just played the entire game without lock-on, and it was absolutely fine.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Yeah. it's probably not a bad idea.
I mean, like the harder modes, I played on normal. I probably should have played on hard, looking back, because like it didn't really get very difficult at all. And you could fight enemies that were like 20 levels higher than you and be okay. Which I thought I really liked at the start, but it was like, well, I mean, where's the challenge towards the end? But, you know, I felt the same way with Zelda. What you gonna do?
That's how I feel with Souls games as well, to be honest.
Yeah. Like,
to some degree. You get good at shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Why artificially pump up the difficulty of the game when your skill has evolved to the point where you can just deal with it? You know? Like, there's no point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zelda, with your durability wars.
And... every video game ever. Just make every game 25 hours. How about that?
Journey. Keep Journey 25 hours. That's a long journey.
25 hours at the most.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's the only way to combat this problem. Or how about, right, you can only like go into a dungeon and level up for a certain amount of time every day.
Right.
And then you can only spend like the next day doing like side stuff outside of the dungeon, like talking to people and forming friendships and stuff and going to school. And like the days like tick on a really controlled rate. So like progression just kind of feels natural throughout the whole game. Someone could
and the dungeons
like
are massive and randomly generated and boring as fuck. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like it. Let's do it. Let's call it Persona.
Okay. Right.
God, I love Persona.
I know. So Zelda's very good. Nia seems to be very good. And you think it's good, I assume? Overall?
Yeah, I really like it. Yeah. It has some very impacting moments.
Great.
Absent of the story. The story isn't relevant for some of the moments, I think. Or it is, but it's not necessary.
All right,
to still enjoy them.
I have to see it.
Because it's all thematically linked together, but not necessarily narrative, let's say.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Any other games you want to talk about? Or to wrap this up and so we can play Splatoon.
Sure. Well, there's other, like, I've played a little bit of Night in the Woods. I've played a little bit of Dandy Dungeon. Mm-hmm. But let's give it a few weeks. Let's get through Nia. Talk about that more next week. And that, like, there's so much to talk about with, because I don't want to I don't want to shortchange these games because they're very good from what I've seen of them so far. But I think we should just move on to news for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
News. What's happened? Pokemon might be getting developed for the Switch. A straight up Pokemon console game.
It's fucking happening.
Game Freak are hiring to make a console game for an RPG that is popular worldwide, right?
Globally popular was the phraseology, I believe.
Sure, okay. With chibi deformed creatures in it, so
it's a Pokemon game for Switch.
It's a Pokemon game.
I think they mentioned something about like Wii U / Vita level character models. So yeah, that sounds about like the Switch. So yeah,
maybe they're making it for the Vita.
Yeah, sure, of course.
No.
it like that's going to be massive. Like we alluded to before, like it sounds like the Switch is selling really well. Nintendo are doubling production for the year. It's moving units, and Pokemon will mean it will continue to move units, like for sure.
It only has one game.
It was enough. It turns out for now. Yeah.
All Nintendo needs is Zelda. That's the problem. They always put Zelda out at the end of a fucking generation and it doesn't sell. You put Twilight Princess out on the Wii day one, fucking sells like crazy.
Totally worked. No Zelda game on Wii U.
Day one, sells like fucking crazy.
Yep.
Zelda sells Nintendo consoles.
Well, initially. It sells it to people like us, but like who fucking knows? The Switch is doing really well now, but I think the jury's still out. I think a Pokemon game and an Animal Crossing game will solidify it in the mainstream.
If only they bundled in 1-2 Switch so we could get the normies in.
I'll tell you off this podcast. There's something funny about 1-2 Switch. Anyway.
Cool.
Continue on.
The problem with the left Switch controller, that it wasn't connecting properly or it was losing sync with the Switch when it was disconnected, was a manufacturing issue caused by variants in manufacturing.
Okay.
So, some of them are okay. They're fixing the problem. And I think they said if you're having the issue, they're going to replace it.
They have done
that.
You can
send it to them and you can replace it.
Yeah, I think someone from some website, I can't remember where, I think maybe Wired or something. Is Wired still a thing? I don't know. Someone sent a broken controller. Maybe, and they sent one back.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened it up, and I think there was just, like, I think they'd use, like, some foam to, like, slightly move the center or something like that. The sensor, I'm not sure. But,
right.
Yeah, pretty simple fix, I think it was. So that's good.
Cool. Yeah. Destiny 2. A Destiny 2 poster was leaked.
Yeah.
Revealing a release date in September.
Yeah.
And a pre-launch beta, which I feel like is a given.
Yeah, sure. Need.
Well, maybe not. Like, Destiny has a strong following already, but I think there's a lot of people who were turned off, and I think they want it to be like a massive fucking phenomenon. So they really need to win people back over with some maybe good gameplay.
Yeah, sure.
Less repetitive gameplay. Let's say the gameplay's good; it's just repetitive.
Yeah, and there's nothing much. It's nothing much surrounding the gameplay, really.
Yeah.
In terms of
some story.
Character. Yeah, exactly.
And you get Peter Dinklage back in.
Yeah.
Record his lines a bit more.
I thought his lines were totally fine from what I heard in the beta, but let's not dredge this whole argument up.
They weren't great throughout the game.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. Did we get a release date? An exact release date or just September?
On the poster, I think it was like very early September, but I couldn't know off the top of my head.
September 8th.
There we go.
Found it. And Super Mario Run is not selling as much as Nintendo expected it to.
Oh, well.
It's always online. It's 10 quid for a mobile game. And, you know, mobile gamers are more discerning in the fact if it costs money, they will not pay for it.
Yeah.
They will just play their free games.
Exactly, yeah. Mm.
It's, and also, it's just not like a Mario game.
No, I don't play
it's
that.
It's a runner.
Zero interest.
And they've done their own things for it, but it's not a Mario game still. So.
Agreed.
There we go. It still sold, how many? 4 million?
That's not bad.
I mean, £40 million, I'd take that.
Yeah, and it's like, probably didn't cost that much money to make. All existing assets, mostly, I think, all that kind of stuff. It's all good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and they just need to keep supporting it after the fact.
Yep.
I think they added the ability to play as several colors of Yoshi.
Great.
If you own the entire thing. So, like, you know, games as services is a thing now, especially on mobile. So you need to start pumping content into it to make it a worthwhile purchase. Mm. But what can you do? Never mind.
Buy a Switch and play Mario on there eventually.
Yeah.
That's what you can do.
Sure. That's a little bit more expensive than
£10.
Nah, but...
Nah, it's fine. Don't worry.
You can also play Zelda on it.
Yeah,
Zelda's pretty good.
Zelda's really good.
Play a little bit of Splatoon 2. It's pretty good,
20
too.
Minutes time.
Yeah.
You gotta wrap this up.
All right. Well, I'll do. I can't think of any more news. Do you have any news?
Nothing off the top of my head. I mean, I think maybe we should just keep this nice and short. Zelda-centric episode. Next week, we'll do something more regular, I think.
We need to get Michael's opinion on Zelda a bit.
Yeah, we do.
Because
exactly.
He was on for the last two times we recorded this, but was unable to join this one, which is a shame.
Unfortunately, yeah. Time constraints and all that. Splatoon is basically the reason that he's not on this podcast.
Yes, we had to push it forward a bit because of Splatoon. Never mind. Thank you very much for listening to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.